This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast, episode 337, and it's game week! I'm your host, Adam Mangum, and in this episode, Matt and I break down BYU's chances against Arizona and their talented QB, Khalil Tate. We also look at the depth chart and some surprises that may have come at us. And we also revise our predictions and stuff a little bit based on basically like a couple of football games that might have happened already. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. You can find this and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. Join us for our halftime show against Arizona. You can find that at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout. And listen to Matt and I preview the Arizona game right now. Matt, there's a BYU football game this week.
Yes, yes, there is. I cannot wait. My excitement can't be contained.
You'll have to wait. We're recording on Monday night, so you've still got, 5 days? Smalls. 5 days? That's not even that
killing
long.
Killing me, Smalls. Killing the longest 5 days of my life. Let's play some football. Jeez.
That won't be true. It won't be the longest 5 days you've ever
done. You know what's funny is because it is the week like the college football is starting, I was reminded something about something I love about living in Texas.
Football?
And it is when I discover like somebody that I didn't know was a college football fan, and they find out that I'm also a college football fan, and then they ask me who my team is, and I say, oh, it's BYU, and I said, well, who do you cheer for? And when they say UT, I always giggle a little bit because I'm like, you know who BYU is.
You know who BYU is. Here's the thing. I was on Wildcat Radio, another podcast. So you guys can go check that out. I did about a half hour with those guys. So if you really want to listen to a lot of Adam this week, go ahead and do that. But they asked me what the biggest difference was between the 2016 team and this team, right? And mm-hmm. I gave them four words. Do you know what those four words were?
I'm guessing they were Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams.
Yes! Nice job! Nice job, buddy! And I said, you know, and Taysom Hill was a difference maker. Just ask the Longhorns.
Ask Mac Brown, who still can't pronounce his name right, but that's fine.
Taysom Hill.
He said like every wrong permutation of that name.
It doesn't matter.
That's an indicator. Mac,
get back at him. So Matt, let's hop into it. We got a lot to talk about today.
We do. There's football to play, dude.
There's football to play. But before we get to previewing the game, let's go to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news.
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt Taysom, speaking of Taysom Hill, he looked amazing in the Saints game, both on special teams and as a quarterback.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it, right? I mean, it's crazy.
Now, I said this last year, and I was wrong, but I'm going to say it with more confidence this year. He's going to make the roster of the Saints.
I don't even know that that's in question.
Well, I didn't think it was in question last year with the Packers. He looked way better than any other quarterback besides Rodgers.
But the Packers made a strategic roster move to waive him, thinking they could pick him back up off of waivers, and they lost.
Yes.
Because they made a bad roster decision. I believe, and will always believe, the Packers' plan was to retain him, but they needed to waive him and pick him back up.
Yeah. Yeah, and so almost everybody is listing Hill as the third stringer. I haven't seen anywhere where he's listed as the backup. But on special teams, I think he's potentially the holder, right?
Yep.
He's potentially the holder, and obviously as we saw in that punt, he's just a weapon to have on the field. He's a decoy.
And now, all season long, every time it's fourth and less than five, teams are going to have to account for that.
Well, I mean
it's,
that's
it's brilliant
why they ran
what
it,
they did.
Right?
It's brilliant what they did.
They put it on film on purpose, right? Because they feel like it's even more valuable as a potential weapon than as a secret one.
Yep.
I thought it was great. And the other part is, you know, I mean, he again looked good, and that's great. I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do, and there were other guys that did very well. Fred Warner looks like, I don't know, maybe he's a good ball player, Matt.
Yeah, I think we already knew he was a good ball player. I think it's just the rest of the world that's figuring that out right now.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So good luck to all of the Cougars in the NFL as they've got a couple of weeks before their week one. Matt, I have some big personal news before we get on to football. My second novel in the Empire of the Peaks series came out on Tuesday, last Tuesday. So it's out there. And the third one comes out in October. If you like fantasy, I like to call it approachable fantasy. Did I say this last week?
You did. Did I say the same thing? You did say this last week. But
well,
I'm going
to say it again. So what do you like to call it? Approachable fantasy. Like, there are some weird names and stuff in there, but it's there aren't so many characters to keep track of. If you like Lord of the Rings, well, this isn't as good as that, but it's still pretty decent, so you should check it out. And you can find that by typing in Peak Crosser or Empire of the Peaks in whatever service that you like to buy your ebooks, or you can go to adamjmangum.com/books, and you can see all of my books out there. So anyway, Matt, let's move on, and it's time to talk some football, all right?
Yes, it is.
We have our first tweet bag question of the day.
Tweet bag.
And that comes from John, at Johnny Danger Man. He has two questions for us, I think. Yes, he does.
He also has a claim to fame, but I think we're going to get right to that.
Yes, we do. Did either of you participate in the hashtag BYU50 festivities this year or in years past? What are your thoughts on this annual tradition? Matt, I believe you've chased this, haven't you?
One year? Yeah, one year, but it was when it was, you know, you really had to be the first ones there, and we weren't gonna make it. And then this year on Saturday, we got up and put on our BYU gear. There was a whole series of things that we had to get done, and with it being downtown during the time of day it was, it just wasn't gonna happen. So we didn't make it down.
I forgot about it this year. I've done it. I've tried to chase it in the past. I forgot, and a guy in our ward got it. No joke.
So, do you know what's crazy? A guy in my ward got it in Houston this year.
No joke.
No
joke. We're like good luck charms.
I am not joking. So it was so funny, though. It's funny to me how many people don't even really like understand or know what this thing is. But so we just moved back to this ward that we'd lived in a couple of years ago, and there's several families that have moved in while we were gone, and this is one of them, a younger couple of kids. Anyway, so I'm flipping through the Instagram feed, and I see that they won it, and I've talked to this guy a couple times. I talked to him a lot this Sunday, and they walked in the chapel. First, I beelined it right over there. I'm like, hey, I don't mean to be creepy, but did you win the BYU 50 bucks yesterday? He's like, yeah, I did. It's awesome. And then some people overheard us. They're like, what's the BYU 50 bucks? I'm like, what, have you been living under a rock? You don't know what the BYU
Apparently.
50 bucks is? Like,
they don't have Twitter.
Like, you think you're a BYU football fan? You don't even know what the BYU 50 box is? What's wrong with you people?
I mean, I wish I could win one. I really do. That would be cool. It would be cool.
And this would have been the year. I mean, that thing was sweet.
Sweet. It was amazing. It was amazing. So, you know, but you got to, if you're going to do it, you got to do it. You know, you got to go for it, right?
You got to be all in. You got to be all in like this. You remember Mary Beth Zeller, right?
Yes, I do.
So their family does it every year. Like every single year they go, and they live in Massachusetts. They'll drive to the Connecticut and the Rhode Island drops.
Yeah. If living in Minnesota, it'd be depending on where they were. Maybe I could get to the Wisconsin and the Iowa ones, but they'd have to be close. They'd have to be close. All right, Matt, John has another question here. He said, with so many late night games, how are we supposed to have BYU watch parties? Some of my friends proved they weren't true fans when I asked if they would come over for a 10:30 for a get-together. thoughts on late games as a fan and maybe for players? As a fan, that's true. It's not my favorite to have these super late games.
No, it's not.
8:45. Is it 8:45?
It's 8:45 our time.
Our time, right? Not Mountain.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I can roll. It's that like 9:30 start.
But, now, I will throw out there, I believe that Johnny Dangerman won a BYU 50 box, which is why he's asked that original question.
Yes.
He's also formerly of the Houston time zone. So, but with the late night games, I mean, caffeine's cool now, dude.
Yeah, you can totally do it. It's okay with the honor code. As far as get-togethers, I can't judge anyone's fandom by them on being willing to come over to a party at 10:30.
especially it's not clear by the way he phrased the question that he mentioned that the get together was for the football game.
Well, and the other piece is it may be about you, John. I'm just saying.
I wasn't going to go there. I mean, he's a decent guy.
No, he's a great guy. I'd go to this get together, but maybe
I didn't get an invite.
So maybe there are people that just don't want to come. But we have some true blue BYU fans that come over and have come for some crazy late games.
I used to do that in Virginia with our brother. And if I lived in Minneapolis by you, I'd do it.
Oh,
Don and I are a little bit far apart for that.
Well, and he sleeps. So, I mean, he'd have to take a nap at halftime. Hashtag nap time. Don nap time.
Little apple juicy box and a nap at halftime.
Little juice box for you.
Juice box.
Do you have one of those? For the players, do you think it makes any difference? I don't think it makes much of a difference.
No, I don't think so. I think players get so jacked up for these. I would hope it doesn't matter.
Did it make a difference when you were 22? Time something awesome happened?
No. You could have done the kickoff at 2 a.m. when I was 22.
I stayed up through...
might be the wrong age. 18 or 19 is probably the better place to do that analysis.
I'm telling you right now, I did the Indiana Jones movies back to back to back, all three in a row at the Movies 8 back in the day. It didn't even faze me. It started at midnight.
Not a big deal, guys.
And I was like 20. I was probably 20. No, that might have been freshman year, so I might have been 18. But whatever. All right, so let's follow up on a few things from our season preview last episode. We got one from Fast Break GP. That's Gary Payne on Twitter. And hey, if you want to tweet at us, you can do it at BYU_RiseShot. To John's question, how much do you change your behavior when watching a BYU game alone versus with fellow fans? So that's part one of his question. Matt, what do you think?
The first thing that jumped out to mind is it depends who the fans are. Depending on who it is, I may curse more or less alone or with those fans. Actually, when I watch a game alone, I'm typically pretty quiet. I don't do a lot of yelling at the television.
You need a crowd to perform for.
Yeah, kind of. Well, no, you get the adrenaline going. At least like you're talking to each other about, oh, did you see that? Did you see that? Oh man, you know, you have that whole conversation going. I don't tend to do that when I'm in the room by myself.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit more vocal when other fans are around. And I think that's just because the energy picks up.
Well, I do have a famous moment where I think it was the Nebraska game, if I'm remembering right. A few years ago, I dove onto the ground after Mitch Matthews caught the ball, almost like I was going to go catch it too. No joke. We had a full house of people watching the game in our basement. It was magical.
I remember watching the Johnny Harlan game with our brother Mark and our nephew David, and when he made the catch, one of us jumped. I don't know if I remember it was me or David. One of us jumped out of the couch so high we nearly hit our head on the ceiling, and it was like a elevated ceiling. We nearly hit our head on the ceiling. That was an awesome moment.
Don't bring up that game.
The Harlan catch?
Yeah, you know my story. The guy fast forwarded it, right?
Yeah, awkward.
He kept fast forwarding because we had fallen a little bit behind, and he's like, "I'm really good at fast forwarding through the commercials." I'm like, "How about we not fast forward through this commercial?" He's like, "No, no." And then he does it, and all we see is Harlan in the end zone on his knees with the ball. We never went over to their house again.
So this is actually, I'm glad I brought up that game because that's a really good answer to Gary's question. Right? You're never going to watch with those people again. Well, behavior changed.
We don't live anywhere near them. But yes.
You moved away.
My wife was embarrassed because I grabbed the remote out of his hand and started rewinding.
Dude, I would have put it through his TV screen. This is why I can't, like, there's only certain people I can watch a BYU game with.
Oh, they got to do it at my house. I'm in control. I haven't gone over to somebody else's house in a long time. I'd do to your house. I'd go to your house.
Come on over, dude.
But I've got to know, if I'm going to go to somebody else's house to watch a BYU football game, I got to know that it's going to be okay also that I am totally into the game and ignore everyone else.
Yeah, see, that's part of the deal, right? Like, I don't mind watching the game with you, but, like, I want to focus on this game.
Yeah, we're not going to small talk. Like, you are not going to sit there and like chat about the weather, and don't ask me how my job is going.
Don't ask me if I think it's time for them to bench the quarterback.
Don't ask me that. Don't start me on whatever new, you know. Hey, did you hear about so and so got the calling in the steak what's it bucket? I don't even care.
I don't even care about that when the game is on.
Precisely. So definitely don't do it to me. And even halftime, it's not safe. Well, now we do halftime shows. This is a good time to bring that up.
It is a good time to bring that up.
We're going
to
do a halftime show.
I believe they call that a segue in the business.
Yeah, we're going to do a halftime show, right?
Oh, of course we are.
So join us on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. We did it all last year. It was a big hit. We're going to do it again. Join our Facebook. And if you want to just be notified when we go live, you know, you could just set that up in Facebook. I'm sure there's a way.
And, you know, we do the best we can. If you get in there and you're watching that, please leave a question, make a comment.
Yeah, make
that's
a comment.
What makes that whole thing fun.
Yeah, we've got a couple people that comment every time. Oddly enough, it's Don. I don't know why.
That's not odd. That's to be expected.
Anyway, Gary's second part of his question is, with a new offensive coordinator, aside from yards and points, what positive elements are you looking for in game one from the offense? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag painbag. Matt, it's very simple for me. I want to see an identity.
Yeah, I hear that. And I feel like that's, and I absolutely understand what you're saying, but I feel like that's a little bit of a cliche answer.
Oh, you just dropped the cliche on me?
I dropped the C word on you. Now, but I understand what you're saying. I'm gonna take it a step further because I agree with you. I want to see an offensive identity, but what I'm looking for is I want to see there's two big things that I want to see. One is I want to see them create manageable second and third down opportunities. Okay.
I'm sorry, Mr. Cliche, Captain Cliche called. And
okay.
Like
what am I supposed to do? You want me to back it up with numbers?
You can back it up with numbers, but I mean, you just called me cliche,
yards.
So I'm hurt.
My feelings are hurt. Oh my gosh, you're stop being such a.
I'm very sensitive.
Sally over there.
I'm very sensitive.
You're very sensitive, but I'm talking, you know, 3-4 yards on first down. Get us into the range of 3rd and 5, 2nd and between 5 and 7, somewhere in there. You know, situations that you can convert. The other one is I want to be able to see, coming back to this word identity. In the passing game, I want to see that Tanner Mangum's got a grasp on what it is that he's being asked to do. Because I never saw that from any of the quarterbacks last year. The progressions didn't seem to be clear or weren't understood by the quarterbacks, and they looked a little bit lost. So I'd like to see that go a little bit smoother as well. But those are the two big things from the O that I'm looking at.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Okay. I think those are good. Well, we'll get back to some of that in a minute. Thomas Orock.
Whatever I say next, cliche, that's going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. It's so cliche that you thought I would do that. Thomas Orock.
No,
there'll be more. Thomas Orock on Twitter, @ThomasOrock, says, how do you think your predictions for the season would change if 2017 never happened? Hashtag alternate reality. Hashtag tweetbag. Hashtag climb on in. Matt, it's hard to do that, but I'll put it this way. If we somehow could pretend that last year didn't happen, which would be awesome, I will put it this way. I would think we'd be not a 9-win team.
Listen, if the University of Utah can pretend that they won a national championship in 2008, we can pretend that 2017 never happened. Because they're pretending something that never happened did happen, right? It's like the inverse. I'm sorry, I lost track of what you
said. Doesn't matter. We'll move on. CougFan82 says, @CougFan82, he just ordered his UW BYU tickets. Thanks for backtracking last week, which we didn't backtrack.
No, we backpedaled a little bit.
Okay,
there's a little
totally
bit of
did.
Soft backpedal.
We totally did.
But that was mostly for Pat, because I want Pat to go visit her family.
Yeah, well, we already talked her out of it. It's too late.
Yeah, we're terrible people.
We're terrible human beings. I feel better about my road trip from NorCal to see my alma maters. Question, now that Tanner Mangum won the starting job, what's the chance of seeing Zach Wilson game one, especially now that Nebraska and USC named true freshman QBs? Hashtag tweetbag. I don't think you see him unless Mangum gets hurt, right?
this guy's already ready to bench Mangum, and the game hasn't even started yet.
He's calling for Mangum.
He's not calling for Wilson.
He's just saying
it's Monday night.
What's the chances? He said it's a legit question.
Until
like 4 days ago, we didn't even know who the starter was. It's a legit question. He's not saying to bench him.
Listen, I love Kuk Fan 82. I love Kuk Fan 82. Okay, but
you just hate the year 1982.
There's a lot of good things about 1982. Go back to our podcast episode of 82, and I think you'll get some great music references.
You will.
But this does feel like we're already talking, like, so how soon do we see the hook on Mangum?
All right, we'll come back to that.
I wasn't prepared to actually answer the question, but we'll come back to it.
Well, do you want to answer the question then now? What's the percent chance we see Wilson?
Zero.
Oh, it's barring injury, higher than zero.
Barring injury, it's zero.
Okay. All right. I think it's higher than zero, but I think it's close to zero. So maybe we're saying the same thing.
Technically, stats boy, yeah, it's probably higher than zero. But it's not. It's zero.
All right. On Facebook, Daniel Smith has a question for us. Did you watch the Hawaii game? Of course we did.
It was a real college football game.
Yeah, I don't know if it's
it was
a real
appointment viewing
game.
For me. That's what my life has come to.
It wasn't a real college football game, but we'll get back to that. Does that change your prediction for the Hawaii game? #FaceBag #ClimbOnIn. All right, guys. I wondered
what you would say about this. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
I'm going to say this, Daniel, and it's no disrespect. If you change your predictions off of the first college football game of the year, or one of the first, with no idea how good Colorado State is, then you probably just need to chill, right? Because in the end, nothing has changed. I haven't seen BYU play yet, so why am I going to change my predictions about Hawaii? I still don't believe they're going to be very good. Beating Colorado State in an exciting, interesting game doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be good. I mean, Colorado State? I mean, they didn't just beat Alabama, right? Like, if they beat Alabama, I'd be feeling very different, right? I mean, Colorado State was a good team last year, but it was like a spike, if you will, right? They were a top 50 team. Are they a top 50 team this year? I have no idea, right? So good win for Hawaii. I don't mean to demean Hawaii's win. It's a good win for them, but I'm not changing what I think yet. Now, if BYU lays an absolute stink egg against Arizona, and then a week later Hawaii wins again, yeah, I might change it, but not yet. Matt?
I love your use of the term stink egg there. That was really fantastic. I don't know what that is, but I'm trying not to be cliche anymore. Well, you weren't. I would hate for anybody to lay one of those. It sounds painful. But actually, I was expecting you to answer that question a little bit differently, because this is the game that you have continually and you've continually warned is this one could be dangerous. And I know Hawaii as an opponent always makes you nervous, mostly traveling to Hawaii to play them, and I understand that, right? And then to see them go and put up all those points Saturday night, I wondered if that was going to temper your expectations for that game a little bit. So I'm comforted. I don't know if that's the right word. That sounded a little bit weird. But I feel good about – I don't know if that's not the right phrase to use there either. And you're not going to edit any of this rambling mess out right now.
0% chance.
So, but I'm interested to hear you say what you just did about how this really doesn't change your view on any of this. When previously I feel like you see Hawaii as a risky team. But for me, I watched that game and I had some of the same thoughts. Like, geez, these guys just put up some points. And I feel like our defense might be a little bit suspect. So the good news was – they let Colorado State get back into that game. And I think that an offense that has any kind of wheels on it comes back in that game and wins it.
I hear you, and I don't disagree. And obviously we've got not a lot of words from Daniel and what he thought. But, I mean, your ears get perked a little bit by the performance, right? You're like, oh.
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points.
They scored a lot of those quickly.
You know, and it made you think, right? But I'm not sitting here going, I'm not sitting here worried about it yet. Right. And again, we'll see, you know, I don't know if Colorado State's any good or not. Right.
Newsflash, they're not.
But by the time they play us, I don't know if we'll still know. Look at their schedule. Navy, right? Maybe Navy might be good. Rice, Army, Duquesne, San Jose State, and Wyoming. That's who they play before us.
Those are all terrible teams.
Look at their entire schedule. They don't play a really good team, right? Unless Navy or Army or somebody's really good and we just don't know it yet, right? You know, and people will say Wyoming. Stop it with the Wyoming, please. You know, I think we'll see.
They
right?
scored some points with their freshman quarterback last weekend.
Well, I'm not saying Wyoming's terrible. I'm just
they
saying
are terrible.
They're not terrible. I mean, they were okay last year. You know, I'm just saying in the end, I don't know, and I'm not going to get revved up yet about Hawaii. But Matt, let's talk about the depth chart. Okay, so they throw out a new depth chart. Okay. And we get this new depth chart, and it's got some crazy, I'm going to say it, it's got some stuff I just don't understand, all right? So help me understand. Everyone wanted to talk about was Tanner Mangum, which we all kind of thought was going to be named the starter anyway, so I'm not exactly sure why everyone was talking about that the whole time. And Zach Wilson is the only backup. That's kind of weird. Where's Critchlow, who Lamb said was like, you know, going to be the future BYU football? He didn't say that, I just made that up, but.
Critchlow's going to redshirt.
Critchlow's never going to play, right? Unless there's lots of injuries. I mean, it's nothing against Critchlow, but there's a bunch of guys waiting in the wings. And the recruiting field on missions, Jalen Hall. I mean, Critchlow only plays if there's injuries. He only played because there was injuries.
That right there is why Critchlow's not appearing on the list.
Okay. All right. But
there's a lot of like ors on this, right? That
what
I also
tight
that
end?
Stuff, that stuff weirds me out.
Four tight ends listed as ors.
What is
Bushman
that?
Not the starter? So
is this just smoke and mirrors? Right? I mean,
why we have smoke and mirrors? Like about what? Who your starting tight end is? You don't want to keep the quarterback a mystery, but hey, they don't know if Bushman's starting. Maybe it's Dallin Holker. Which, by the way. A lot of praise coming Holker's way, and I think Dick Garmin had an article about it. There's a couple other people mentioned about Holker, and I mean, is there a chance that Bushman doesn't even lead the wide receivers in receiving this year? Did we just miss this one?
No.
What's with the or? If Bushman was that much better, why isn't he just the starter?
I don't know. Now you're making me nervous.
I'm not nervous. That's a good thing.
I kind of dismissed it like they're just messing around.
That's a good thing. If MLP looks fantastic and Holker looks fantastic, that's not a bad thing, right? That gives us what we wanted, which is if you've got two or three pass-catching tight ends, and maybe what it is that it's or because they're going to play all four of them and just move them around, right? No Wigway is going to be in there a lot because it's going to be a fifth offensive lineman, right? I don't know. That one was confusing. And how about Troy Werner not being listed as a starter?
Yeah, that one confuses me.
That raised the old eyebrows, didn't it?
I mean, he's another or, right? I mean, but...
But he's not a clear starter.
No.
Right? And other guys on the defense weren't listed as or. Taki Taki's not an or. Kafusi, the senior, or the middle... whatever you want to call him, he's not an or, right? So it's interesting, and it makes me wonder, and I tweeted this out, and a few people tweeted back, is it because he's not 100% physically, right? And the answer is I have no idea. It could be. Because he's not 100% physically.
Yeah, but the other thing to look at, I mean, look at these guys he's listed behind, right? So he's listed behind Dayan Gunmaloku and Austin Lee. Now, we know who Gunmaloku is, right?
Yeah.
Like, I get that one. But you'd wonder if, well, maybe he's at this free safety spot. But you look over there, and this Austin Lee guy is supposed to be pretty good. And what if he just showed up and just beat him?
But Werner was our best defensive back last year. And it's basically mostly the same guys.
For Austin Lee. Austin Lee is new.
Fine. Put him on the corner. I thought he was the best corner we had. I'll tell you this right now. If he's 100%, this is going to be like the Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl thing to me. I'm going to be scratching my head the whole game.
Right. Because is Troy Werner really – should he really be behind a Michael Shelton or a Chris Wilcox? Probably not.
Probably not. But again, the coaches are the ones that are seeing it day to day. And obviously, if he's not 100%, that's – all of this goes out the window, right? Because if he's playing 80%, and remember at the end of, I mean, he told some reporters at the end of spring that he was like 65-70, right? And for a player to say that to people, that means he's probably even less, right?
Right.
So maybe he's just not totally right. And if that's the case, then you don't want him out there. You pick these other guys, right? But I'm going to be shocked if somehow, if he's 100% healthy and Satake and Tuiaki's thing has been get the best 11 out there and he's not one of them, I don't get that at all. Because I thought he played very well last year, unless I'm missing something. And Crittle, maybe we'll have Crittle come on and tell me I'm wrong, but I don't know. Anything else on the depth chart?
No, I think those are the big stories, right?
Yeah. Eight captains have been named, Matt. Eight captains.
That's a lot.
That's like 10% of the team.
That's a quorum.
Does it mean less, or do you think it doesn't really matter anyway?
I don't know that it really matters. I mean, you look at the guys that they have listed here. I think that they just went after. Sorry, I didn't mean to clear my throat right into the microphone. Yeah, that was very unprofessional of me.
That was very nice.
You look at the guys they have in that group. That was very cliche. I mean, I get the impression that these are all guys that are respected by their teammates.
Yeah.
You know, and are considered leaders, right?
El Bakri. I love it.
Can you imagine, though, like if Tanner weren't the starter, do you think he would have been on that list of eight?
Possibly. But probably not. I don't know how you do that. But here's Satake's question, and I was confused by his comment, not question, his quote. And then this was in Brandon Gurney, a friend of the podcast, Brandon Gurney's article. I needed to have certain roles and responsibilities for each of them, and it exceeded more than just four guys. I thought it was good for us to have eight, and for our players that voted, those are the eight that got the most number of votes. So what are the roles and responsibilities besides going out and for the coin flip?
Like, well, I think they do. Like they've got like that leadership council stuff that they do, and you also, I mean, just from a mechanics standpoint, those are the guys on the field will end up talking to the officials.
Yeah, sure.
And there's probably stuff that they're doing in practice with these guys. You know, I think they're looking for these guys to take leadership roles when the coaches aren't around. And given what appears to be some of the issues that this team had last year, I'd imagine you might decide you need a slightly larger group to take on that task.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder, though, I mean, you played sports in high school, which is totally just like Division I sports.
It's basically the same thing.
But, I mean, when I covered college football, when I've talked to former college football players, the leaders on the field and in the locker room are who the leaders are. Like, you don't really, like, the coaches don't pick them, right? And he said they got the most votes, right? But the people follow who they're going to follow, right? Putting a C on their uniform doesn't all of a sudden mean people go, oh, I'm going to listen to that guy now, right? So I find it interesting sometimes that, you know, we make a big deal out of these captains, but in the end, you know, is Tuiaki the leader of that defense? I don't know. We'll see, right? Is Mangum the leader of that offense? I don't know. I guess we'll see. And does it matter? Or is it really the coaching? I don't know. We'll see. So let's preview Arizona. Know the foe, man. So before we start, there's some ridiculousness we'll get out of the way. Our brother Don says, what would you rather have at the game? A brat, a hot dog, a sandwich, a torta, a taco, or a burrito? Matt, take your pick.
Well, I like that he listed several kinds of sandwiches in his question.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
That notwithstanding, I'm going to go with a brat.
Oh, and by the way, Sweeney, I'm totally ignoring your thing about I admitted that a hot dog's a sandwich. I have said that the entire time. I just think it's a meaningless distinction. He called me out on Twitter because he was a couple episodes behind, which, you know, come on, Sweeney.
Well, Sweeney's been busy.
Well, the best part is that, you know, probably a lot of listeners, if they get a few behind, they just skip them. Not Sweeney.
No, Sweeney's going to listen to every single episode. That's what I love about him. So 2 weeks from now, when he catches up to this show, he'll hear.
He's listening this week.
He probably is listening this week. But there's been a lot going on in Sweeney's world.
Tell Matt he's wrong, Sweeney. Tweet at him as soon as you hear this.
And then so, I'll see it a day later. But anyway, so but I'd go with the brat if I only have what's on this list. Now, if I'm assuming sandwich, he's including any type of sandwich, would also include a hamburger. I would actually take a hamburger.
I love brats. And by the way, why is he spelling with a W?
I don't understand that.
It's the same
that.
As brat. It's
just going to let it go. Just going to let it go.
Different. Certain tacos might be up there for me. Like a good street taco. I might go for that. That might be.
Is this blasphemy? What is this?
Why can't you do tacos at a football game?
I don't know. It just feels weird. But I don't know. Maybe not, though, because I attended a wedding reception last weekend. I went to a wedding reception last weekend that was catered by Torchy's Tacos.
And you texted me about how awesome that was.
The funny part was, is we were driving to this reception, and it was at a place that was right next to a Torchy's. Like, it's this great venue on this little lake thing, and on the other side of this lake is like a man-made lake, like around this plant community. But on the other side of the lake from where the reception was, there's a Torchy's. And I said to my wife, I said, well, should we just hit Torchy's on our way? She said, no, let's go and see if the food at the wedding is good. And if the food at the wedding is good, we can do Torchy's a different day. I'm like, man, I love this woman. And so we went, we show up at the reception, and it's Torchy's Tacos.
You've been living right.
I had a trailer park served up trashy.
Every time you say that at me. I love it. It's funny. All right. Thomas Orak is back with another question. He said he's just moved to Phoenix and he'll be attending the game in Tucson Saturday night. Will you ask your listeners to pray that I survive the experience? We have never asked for prayers in this podcast in eight years. And sorry, Thomas, I can't do it.
Even in like serious situations, I don't think we've ever done that. But good luck to you.
Yeah, good luck to you. And just don't be as dumb as Matt, okay?
Yeah, stay out of the student section and just don't engage.
Don't engage. Don't make eye contact.
There's going to be some ridiculous signs. They're going to make fun of stuff about the church. They're going to go after the school. They're going to – whatever. I mean, just walk away.
Well, I was just, as I mentioned, on Wildcat Radio podcast, and those guys were super nice. Like, I think it's – they're just bad actors, right? In every fan base.
Yeah, it's
and
just
if
you
fueled by alcohol. It's bad.
It's and they're just very vocal, right? It could be a very small group of people. They're just extremely vocal. And this, to be fair, those students had been drinking since like 6 a.m. and it was a night game.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I had really had no business. I got lost trying to meet up with a friend and then made a bad decision. So that's on me.
Yeah, that is on you. And he says hashtag hostile environment, hashtag tweet paddock, hashtag climb on in. All right, so let's get to know them a little bit. So Khalil Tate's obviously the story, the quarterback who some are calling a Heisman Trophy candidate. I don't know if he really is a Heisman Trophy candidate. They also have a new coach in Kevin Sumlin, who, of course, most college football fans know. They were a top 50 team last year, 7-6. They were okay. They're projected to be better. Some people have them as top 25. Football Outsiders has them preseason 33rd with a predicted record of 8-4. This really is, you know, they were an offense last year that was awesome and their defense was not, right? And this really, their story is kind of a little bit of the opposite of ours. I mean, we didn't have an awesome defense, but they really have kind of that flip side is if the defense can be good, then and their offense can maintain what they had, and they returned a lot of people on the offensive side. Can they be the Pac-12 South champs? And the answer is, at least to a lot of prognosticators, the answer is yes. They can be if things go their way. So Matt, with that being said, how worried are you about Khalil Tate?
I'm extremely worried about Khalil Tate. I watched just before this a highlight video put out by the University of Arizona on Khalil Tate. And I don't know that defensively we have a good answer for this.
I don't know what they're going to pull out. I don't know that we have, you know, if you had a Kyle Van Noy, you could like just put him as a spy, right? We don't have a Kyle Van Noy. Nothing, no disrespect to Taki Taki or anybody else on that unit.
I mean, he made some very good defenses look a little silly and ripping off some really big plays and put up a lot of yards. I mean, I remember their bowl game against Purdue. I mean, granted, that did go Purdue's way, but he threw for over 300 yards in that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got all three of his top three receivers back from last year. And these guys aren't huge guys, but they're very, very fast. And they produce a really good combination of speed getting open and just running past defenses and downfield blocking when either it's a designed quarterback run or the play breaks down and Tate takes off. They get really good downfield blocking. And all of those things right there make me nervous. I don't know that we have the speed in the backfield that we're not going to get beat over the top. I don't know that we have somebody that can spy Tate. And I think that the downfield blocking unless we can stop him inside the box or inside the, between 5 and 7 yards from the line of scrimmage, I think we're prone to him ripping off really big plays on us.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, and you haven't said it yet, and I quoted you on that Arizona podcast, that we struggle against dual threat quarterbacks.
Well, that's just a fact.
Yeah, so that's like your thing, man. But good job staying away from your own cliches.
Yeah, stop it. But I basically just said that. I used more words. Yeah, I used my words.
Yeah, a lot of them. So anyway, Matt, you look at them. I mean, their defense is projected to be bad again, according to Football Outsiders. I think they'll actually probably be a little bit better than that. But the big question is for this game is how good will their defense be? And if their defense is as bad as it was last year, and they were like a top 90 type of defense, right? The question really becomes, can BYU's new offense score points against them? And I just have no freaking idea, right? Like, do you have any idea?
That's the tough part, right? I mean, but that was the Achilles heel to this team last year. When he was the starter, they were giving up 40 points per game.
Yeah.
And so if our offense can put something together, maybe this Tate guy does run us all over the field and it still doesn't matter.
Yeah,
right?
you can still stay in the game.
And that's what happened in their bowl game last year. And so, but there's just no way to predict what our offense is going to look like. And I've gone back and forth, as when we've predicted this season on this game. I think this is a winnable game, but it really is going to come down to the offensive identity. It's a great storyline for a game. When you look at the way this lines up, their defense was a little bit weak. Their offense looks pretty strong. Our offense has struggled a little bit, but we're not really sure how good our defense is and if we can contain something like this. I mean, this has got the makings of, it could be a really fun game to watch if you don't happen to be emotionally connected to either of these two teams.
Well, I'll tell you what, after my research, I feel better about it than I did previously.
I mostly feel better about it because I watched Cougazool's hype video right before we recorded this podcast, and I feel like we're ready to take on the world.
That's also true. So Johnny Ashton asked this about Khalil Hate and this Khalil Hate?
Khalil Hate, really?
I don't know. Is that a nickname for him?
It is now.
Made one up.
All right, Mac Brown.
don't you dare call me Mac Brown.
You take that back.
I'm more of a Lou Holtz. Who is the bigger threat to a college football defense, Khalil Tate or Taysom Hill?
Did Khalil Tate get an entire staff fired last year?
Nope, not that I'm aware of. His
own. The answer's still Taysom Hill.
Not his own, I'm just kidding. Rich Rod got fired for being a dummy.
Yeah, that wasn't Khalil Tate's problem.
Not his fault. But hey, Rich Rod gets credit. USC wanted Tate to be a wide receiver, right? I believe that's the story, if I'm repeating that one right. And Rich Rod saw the quarterback, so hats off to him. I mean, are you scared of Kevin Sumlin as a coach? Isn't Sumlin like the typical wah, wah, hire in college football? Like, we're going to hire a guy that was just okay someplace else.
That's kind of the way it seems to have rolled for Sumlin, isn't it?
I mean, and I should say, I mean, he was never worse than 7-5 at A&M, right? I mean, so, but I would say most A&M fans weren't like sorry to see him go, were they?
No, but I mean, he got fired. It's like all the other coaches in the SEC. Like, they'd fire anybody who can't beat Saban, and which is
everybody,
right? That's all of them. So I think Sumlin is a good coach, and frankly, I think that if Arizona has a stretch of going 7-5 for 8 years in a row or something, like, they should feel pretty good about that, because historically, That's not who they are.
But
at least not in recent history.
But here's the thing. They're going to do better than that. You want to know why? Because, I don't know. The Pac-12 South is interesting this year and for years to come, right? USC, tons of talent. Freshman quarterback, right? University of Utah, quarterback questions and a really good defense. Arizona, amazing offense last year, probably be really good again, and potentially another terrible defense. And then guess who's coaching UCLA? You know who's coaching UCLA? Any idea, Matt?
What's that guy's name again?
What's his name again? Coached Oregon for a while, and they were pretty good when he coached.
That one guy.
He wasn't great in the pros, though, Chip Kelly. I mean, do you think, like right now, people are projecting UCLA to be 6-6? I don't think a Chip Kelly team's 6-6.
No, I don't buy that.
I'm just saying, like, that division's very interesting going forward. For sure.
I think Chip Kelly makes that team competitive. And going back to what I was saying a second ago, I think Sumlin makes Arizona competitive. I'm not saying they're going to go win the Pac-12 year in and year out, but they're going to be in the mix.
Oh, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think that division's – I think Whittingham's going to have to step up his game. No joke, and I'm not saying that as a rivalry thing. Kind of I am. But it's really more – you look at that and you've got Sumlin who's going to be solid. You got Chip Kelly who's either going to flame out or – build another great program there, and USC just reload with talent every year, right? So, it'll be interesting. And by the way, you notice I didn't mention Colorado or Arizona State because come on, guys, be serious.
Arizona State's got a head coach who's like mailing it in. Oh, I think he's going to coach the games from an armchair at his house.
Yeah, he might. But he'll give some great speeches.
It's a weird situation. I love the guy. I really do. I loved watching him on TV, but that's just a weird situation.
Okay, so let's jump into prediction time, Matt. Predict? All right. Marissa Perkins Reynolds on Facebook says that she has a follow-up. She didn't get the box this year, speaking of the boxes, and if our football season doesn't surpass the 4-win mark, we can safely say it wasn't your fault for the advice to go for the box.
I feel good about that. I feel clear. My conscience is clear.
Okay, all right. New face bag question. In the Arizona game, do you predict any point in the game where Matt pretends not to pay attention so BYU can make a comeback, or do you predict a closer scoring margin? I think we're in it all the time, the whole game.
I think we get both things. I think there's a period of time in the game where I pretend not to pay attention, BYU gets back into it, and the final score is close.
All right. You ready for our over-under?
Oh, man. I've not settled on what I think the final score is going to be, so I'm going to have to do this on the fly.
All right. So here it is. Last year, Arizona gave up 473 yards per game. Over under, BYU getting 425.
Over.
I'm going to go over as well. Total yards for Arizona. Last year, they averaged 490 total yards per game. Over under that number, 490 for Arizona.
Over.
I am going to go over as well. Let's see. The next one is passing yards for Tanner Mangum. Over under, and I'm going to set it at 270.
I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go under. Let's see. The next one is rushing yards for Squally Canada. Over under 75, Matt.
Under.
I am going to go under as well. Turnovers for BYU will set that one at 2.5. Over under.
So these are turnovers given up or takeaways?
Turnovers given up.
Okay.
By BYU. 2.5.
Under.
I'm going to go under as well. Turnovers for the Wildcats set at the same spot, 2.5.
Also under.
So you think two or less turnovers for both teams. Not a big turnover game. Not a
Correct.
Crazy turnover game. All right.
Correct.
The Vegas line, I've seen some at 12. I've seen it. It opened at like 13, and I think, or maybe even 13.5. Where is that? Yeah, 13.5. It's now down to 11.5 or 12. Matt, are you taking the Wildcats to cover? That we'll call it 12.
I am not. I'm not taking the Wildcats to cover 12.
What if it was 11.5?
I would have to think about that. But that's not the final score I'm predicting still wouldn't cover it. But if I were putting money down, I might go a different way.
All right. Well, what's your final score there, buddy?
I'm going 34-24 Wildcats.
I am going to – I'm totally going against what I said on the show for the Wildcat Radio, mainly because I'm just –
You were just on that show like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, we know how I changed my mind. I'm worse than you sometimes. I'm going to say 30-18.
Okay, so we're pretty close. I've just become a little bit more bullish.
Yeah, you have become a little bit more bullish.
I've been watching BYU highlight videos for like 30 minutes before we started recording
tonight.
Psyched up right now.
That makes a lot of sense. I think we stay in this game until the fourth quarter. I think BYU's offense is going to look good running the ball. I think we're going to struggle in the passing game a little bit. I think the defense is going to have its moments. But in the end, they're just not going to be able to contain Khalil Tate and J.J. Taylor. And I think, you know, Arizona's going to put up a lot of yards. But I think the rushing offense for BYU will give a lot of hope to the future. And I think people are going to overreact to maybe not a great game by Tanner Mangum.
See, I feel a little bit differently. I think that we're going to struggle a little bit early. We're going to go down. And we're going to have to try and climb back out of that, which is going to require some pass production, and that Tanner's going to look pretty good.
Yeah,
but we'll still come up short.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's good. I like. I feel much better about this game after doing the research. Their defense was not very good last year, and quite frankly, it's probably the perfect type of defense for us to face in this first game. And unfortunately, because of how good their offense is, I don't think that'll translate to a victory, even if the offense plays better than what I think they're going to do.
Yeah.
Not this week, but I'll tell you what, I'm feeling good about this Cougars team now. I don't know why, but maybe because I'm just excited.
It's 5 days before the first game of the season.
Yeah.
Because this is like the most magical point that we're going to have in 2018 for BYU football. This right here. Enjoy it, everybody.
All right. Well, Sweeney is joining the podcast now.
Sweeney.
He says, in the 2006 team, who many consider Broncos best, we'll get back to that in a second, and the 2016 team with Taysom and Jamal, both only scored in teens against U of A on the road. How bad will overreaction be if Grimes only scores similarly in game one? Hashtag tweetback. Matt, how big will that be?
It's going to be a total meltdown.
It'll be awesome.
It's going to be
go nuts.
Oh, it's going to be so painful to watch.
Yeah, fans are going to go nuts. It'll be great.
We are all so scarred from what we witnessed last year. Like, it's going to be bad. It's going to be real bad.
Well,
they've got to score some points.
The thing, isn't it fair because this could be a bad offense? Right? Isn't it kind of fair that, you know, that they should be able to put up some points if this offense is going to be even decent this year?
It's a fair expectation.
Yeah.
But to come out in the first game and have not everything go according to plan, I don't think – I feel like we're all going to hit the panic button too early.
Yeah.
If that happens.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm not going to hit the panic button.
Oh, I am. I'm going to totally freak out.
Of course you are. Of course you are. What's wrong with you?
I'm emotional.
You are emotional. According to, I think, I don't think there's an argument it's to Broncos' best team, back to that point. 2006 is clearly his best team. I don't know that it's even close. I know the records between the 2017 and 2016 are the same. But if you look at the schedule they played, as well as who they beat in those years, I think it's a clear one. But maybe not. I don't know. The poll rankings 2007 was higher, but I think that's because of 2006, right?
Right. They started, that's why 2007 got there.
Yeah, they started higher. But if you look at like advanced statistics, that team was considered better. But you know, I don't know. Bronco had several good teams, and obviously that 2016 team is not – I can't even find them here. They were not.
Yeah, but they had Taysom Hill and Jamal, but they had some great talent.
They did. Well, you know, it's like I said, the four words that are the difference between 2016 and now, right?
Yeah.
Those are the four words. Well, Matt, any other bold predictions before we leave this Arizona preview behind?
No, I was gonna get crazy, but I won't. I've got to back off a little bit, or I'm gonna start saying crazy stuff.
All right. So next week we will be back, Matt, talking about the results of this game as well as previewing Cal, because we're in the Pac-12 and we're opening up with our two conference foes.
Yeah, pretty much.
The other piece is we will have a halftime show on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. So join us for that. Our final shout today is from Jeremy Ashton via email. And if you want to email us at, you can do that at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. I'm motioning. I do always motion with my finger when I do that, like I'm typing my email address. It's weird. Jeremy says this. I'll submit. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Why did you just share that? That's weird.
I don't know.
I'm uncomfortable.
I'm in a sharing mode. I'm excited for football.
I believe that they call that an overshare.
That seems cliche to me. He says, I'll submit one more movie question before the actual football season begins. If you could only bring three movies with you to a deserted island, would you take the original Star Wars trilogy or pick any three movies from the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Jeremy, are you trying to torture me? Is that what this is?
I just want to be clear, though. I can't choose something that's not in his question. I have to choose one of these two options.
What else are you going to bring?
The Bourne Identity series.
Stop.
Batman.
Stop it. Okay, Batman.
Starting
fine.
With Dark. Yeah, Dark Knight.
I love the Bourne Identity series, but I mean, stop. Stop right now.
Anytime I don't flip channels anymore because I cut the cord, which has totally changed the way I watch television. But and it's awesome, by the way. So if you're hesitating, just do it. Do it now.
By the way, though, you won't spend less on entertainment. I did this. Did I tell you this?
Yeah, if you do the math out. Actually, I am spending less.
Well, you might be spending less than you did at the end with
DirecTV.
But
DirecTV
how about this?
Was like I think I had another child that they now own. I'm not sure.
What happens when Disney has their streaming service? You going to pay for it?
I'm not going to have any choice. I have four children.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Eventually, we're going to all be paying the same. But anyway, going on, you cut the cord.
Anytime I was flipping channels and one of those Bourne movies was on, it didn't matter what I had planned. My plans just changed.
It's true. You know what?
I'm watching this movie.
On TNT used to do that to me. Last of the Mohicans.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
They don't play it. I mean, TNT, I don't know if they even exist.
Because that would be the only way you'd see it, right? Because it'd be edited on TV, clearly.
No, I don't own it.
It's the only time you'd see it.
In both digital and DVD formats. I don't own it.
And I've never seen it edited. I mean,
nice slip there, buddy. So anyway, back to Jeremy's excellent question. Would you rather take the original Star Wars trilogy or your pick of three movies from the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Listen, so I'm picking one of these two things. The dialogue in the original Star Wars trilogy is not something that I could watch forever on a deserted island. Okay, maybe that's just blasphemous, but yes. I would take Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, they're coming from, trying to come through the blockade, sir. Oh, good. Our first catch of the day. The lines like that in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, that's a pretty good example. But actually, but one that kind of has that same feel to it, but was awesome, is Han Solo with Situation Normal. Everything's fine here.
Everything's fine here. Just got a how are you? It's one of the best exchanges ever. Anyway, I'm going with Star Wars. But since you asked, Jeremy, if there was three Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, which three I'd pick to take with me to a deserted island, because that's what he's asking, isn't it? It's Winter Soldier, because I think that's the best. That might be my favorite. I think you got to take one of the comedies or funnier movies, and so I'd take Guardians of the Galaxy, because you got to have a little bit of variety. And then I've also got to have just a good bang up Avengers all together, so I'd take Age of Ultron. So, since he was kind of asking that. Are you going to pick three?
I don't know that I could narrow it down to three right now, because I really enjoyed Ant-Man and the Wasp and the first Ant-Man, but I've got a little bit of recency bias there.
Well, I did. So did I don't you know notice my reference? My Ant-Man and the Wasp. Did you notice my Ant-Man and the Wasp reference earlier?
No, I missed it.
I'll have to go back and listen to the show. See if you can find that.
Oh, geez.
See if you can.
A little Easter egg there in the podcast.
That's right. There's a little Ant-Man. It was a good movie, though. Ant-Man and the Wasp. It was really good. It was highly entertaining. It was highly entertaining. And anyway, well, Matt, that's all we got. Unless you got something else you want to talk about.
That's it. I'm all out.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. Once again, catch the Halftime Show on Facebook, facebook.com/riseandshout. And, you know, go check us out on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts if you found us through some other way. And subscribe there. Give us a good rating, all that jazz. And we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.